various celebrities. He also is really good with, he's the voice for women. So he's really good with working with women. So we're so excited to have him on our show. Over 4 million people have read Wanis's books in English and Spanish. Please welcome Patrick Wanis. Hello.
Hi, and thank you very much, ladies. I guess I should say g'day.
G'day.
I believe I'm having a little tickle.
So, the other thing, if you want to know some of the slang, it actually got someone in trouble. The word is fair dinkum, which means really or true or just a way of stressing, hey, I'm telling you the truth, like fair dinkum. That actually happened.
Fair dinkum.
Wait, what did you think I said,
Patrick? I don't know. I didn't hear what you said. I couldn't understand what you said.
Oh, right.
Saying.
You know what?
What is the word that means, are you true? Can you spell it for us?
You mean fair dinkum?
Yeah.
Like fair, F-A-I-R.
Fair.
Second word, D-I-N-K-U-M.
Oh, dinkum. Fair dinkum.
Fair dinkum. And it's almost like Latin.
So it'd be like you'd say, I'd say, you know, I'm 6 feet tall and I weigh 112 pounds. And you'd say, you do? Fair dinkum.
I'd go, fair dinkum, which means like, do you really?
Oh, okay. So that's it. That's how it works. Oh, fair dinkum.
Or I could say, hey, I went out last night and I had an amazing time. Fair dinkum.
Ah, yes. It's a lot like Latin.
Yeah, very
you know,
close.
Pig Latin.
Fair dinkum. Not exactly Latin, but the idea of it.
Yeah, fair dinkum.
Anyway,
I'm going to use that.
Welcome to Broad Minded, Patrick.
Thank you.
So, God, there's so much we can talk to you about. You know, ourselves, women's issues. But let's focus on this quote that you had, because this is such current news, about Michael Vick. Sherry, read that quote that Patrick said.
When Michael Vick today admitted that he had killed dogs that didn't perform well, he also engaged the O.J. effect, killing his career and sabotaging his life, according to celebrity life coach and author Patrick Wanis. Is that right, Wanis? Yes? Fair dinkum.
Fair dinkum.
Fair dinkum. Fair dinkum, yeah.
Despite...
And yes, I said that.
Okay.
And let me say why I said that. O.J. is just one example of many celebrities who have been sabotaging their career. And here's the principle where I'm going with this. You will always come back to your roots. Money, power, and fame will make you just more of who you truly are. But you can't mask who you truly are. Now, I'll give you an example. Britney Spears. You know, there's the expression, you can take the girl out of the trailer, but you can't take the trailer out of the girl.
Right.
Okay. That's another way of saying Britney's just become more of who she really is. You can give her the money, you can give her the power, you can give her the fame, but what she really is inside, what she believes about herself, what she subconsciously
right.
believes she deserves is what she's going to end up with.
That's the difference.
Right, so Michael Vick is simply going back to his roots. If you study his history, he grew up around gangs and drugs, he had discipline problems, his mother was 16 when he was born, his father was hardly around. Do you think this guy has some issues with anger? Do you think this guy has some unresolved issues? And so he grows up, and he entered sport as a way of finding a path, finding a sense of direction, finding some discipline. And yes, it works for a while, but whatever's deeply inside of you, your core issues, your core beliefs will eventually surface. So when you find out, okay, he pleads guilty to not just fighting dogs, but killing dogs, you have to ask yourself, okay, what about his career? This guy had signed a $130 million contract.
Yeah.
Why is he engaging in this? Why is he still hanging out with other people who are not good influences on him? Because he's still stuck in his roots. You cannot change who you are. Well, you can, but not through simply success, money, power, or fame. That doesn't change who you are. It'll just make you more of who you are. If you're, and I guess we can use the word prick, if you're a real prick and you have more money, guess what? You're just going to be a bigger prick with more money, and you're going to use it that way. If you're a kind person who cares about people and is generous, when you get more money, you're going to use that money generously.
So money isn't the root of all evil. Is at the root of all evil, and it doesn't really matter because it just exaggerates what's already there.
It's not, you know, and the Bible quote was never money. It was, you know, the desire for money, actually the love of money that's the root of all evil. But it's not even the love of money. It's what you do with the money. And money, power, and fame just gives you the opportunity to express yourself on a grand scale. And here you have a guy that's unbelievably successful. He comes from a really bad background, yet he becomes successful. Is that enough for him? Does he enjoy it? No, he doesn't. He finds ways to sabotage it. And lots of celebrities are doing it. Nicole Richie was adopted. Is she looking after herself? Look at Lindsay Lohan's background. She didn't have a good upbringing.
Mm-mm.
And her father had drug problems. What's her problem? Drug problems. You know, and her mother simply used her as a puppet to try and make her what she couldn't be. And you know, I know a lot of parents will do this. They want to live vicariously through their children. But these are simply examples that even when you get the fame, power, and the success, you'll only get so far because you'll subconsciously sabotage yourself if you believe you don't deserve it.
What's the difference between the unconscious and subconscious? Are they the same?
They're very similar. It's just terminology. Some will call it the unconscious. Some will call it the subconscious. Basically, there are two parts to your mind. Right now, you're on the other end of the microphone listening to me, and the way you're analyzing what I'm saying is your conscious mind. That's your intellect. That's your analytical ability or faculty. The way you feel about what I'm saying is your subconscious mind. That's your emotional mind. Your emotional mind or your subconscious mind controls your heart, your digestion, your nervous, your circulatory system. So when you ladies meet a guy that is unbelievably exciting or there's a love in your life and your heart starts pounding and you're feeling those butterflies in your stomach, that's from your subconscious mind. When you're getting scared.
But I would think that's conscious,
yeah,
because that's conscious, I'm feeling it in my that's interesting.
It's your perception, right?
It's my perception.
Let me explain that. The fact that you're feeling it doesn't mean it's not conscious. Conscious is a thought. That means I consciously believe, I'm consciously saying, hey, I deserve to be a multimillionaire. But emotionally, do you feel that? Or did you grow up thinking you'll never be, you know, your parents told you you'll never be good, you'll never make it, you're a loser, etc., etc.? When you're saying, hey, in front of me is a guy, and when I see that guy I get excited, it's an emotional thought that becomes manifested or becomes evident in your physical body. But it's not a conscious thought. You know, like you hear from an ex-boyfriend and you start to shake. What is that? It's not logic. That's your emotional mind.
Ah, you know, it's interesting when you really can kind of decipher it because, you know, I've done so much work, you know, just on, I've done different modalities to figure out how to get to the root of, you know, feeling like a better person or dealing with depression. But the power is all in the subconscious.
Yes, it is. And look, I've worked with so many clients. For example, I worked with a client yesterday who at the end of the session says, this is amazing. I've been to so many therapists about this. We've discussed this issue, but I never felt it before, and I never had the healing. So what I did with him was take him back to those original events and help him to gain new understanding and a new perspective about what happened as a child. Sitting there and talking to me, us talking to each other forever, is a waste of time unless I can get to your subconscious mind. That's why you go to the therapist for 10,000 sessions, and you're only better by about 1%.
So what's the quickest way to the subconscious mind? What do you use to get there?
Hypnosis, trance, regression. For example, if I say to you, imagine now being on the beach, and the sky is your favorite color, it's a gorgeous day, and you can hear the sound of the waves rolling, and you can imagine yourself being there, can you feel the warmth of the sun? Okay, once you start putting yourself there in that scene, and you can start to feel it and see it and hear it, you're going into what we call an altered state. And the altered state is simply where you now have focused attention. Once you start focusing your attention, you can feel it as real. From there, you're just entering a slight trance state, and then we can deepen the state. What we're doing is we're slowing down your brain waves. That's all. It's nothing really magical except when you see it done on a stage as a comedy show, and that's a different kind of experience. It's still hypnosis, but that's a state that we call somnambulism. But hypnosis is the quickest way to do it. But you can do it, you know, some people call it regression therapy, some call it creative visualization, some call it regression. I mean, there are many, many different names for it. All it is accessing your emotional mind. That's all it is.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, Patrick, there are some people, though, that can't be hypnotized. Isn't that right? Or they are not as susceptible to it because they're either, you know, locked into their own thinking or they can't relax. Or what do you do about a person like that?
Well, let's explain what we're trying to do with hypnosis. See, when you watch a stage show, and I used to do comedy shows, when you see them on stage, and I would have people eating from my hand what I told them was a ripe, fresh, ripe, juicy peach, and they're eating it, and they're chewing it slowly, and then I take it and show it to the audience, and it's a raw onion.
Oh.
But the people that are hypnotized that are eating it do not taste the raw onion, and they're not crying. There's no tears coming from their eyes. They are in one of the deepest states of hypnosis known as somnambulism. Only 15% of the population can be hypnotized that deeply. But you don't need to be hypnotized that deep to engage in healing or in therapy work. You just need to be able to access the emotional mind. Now, to answer your question about the people that can't at all be hypnotized, everyone can be hypnotized if they allow themselves to be.
So it doesn't matter, even if they...
Well, there's 5%, like mongoloids can't be hypnotized. Some schizophrenics maybe can't be hypnotized. I mean, there's a very small percentage of people that can't be hypnotized, because everyone can go into a dream state. Think of hypnosis like a dream state, but it's a guided dream state.
We're talking to Patrick Wanis. He is a career coach, and he's talking about people that sabotage themselves, like Michael Vick and some celebrities that have, that seem to have everything in the world going for them, and yet time and time again, they just can't seem to be successful. They're successful in the sense that they've made a lot of money, but they make enough mistakes along the way that you kind of wonder what the sabotage is all about. And he says it's something that's sort of pre-programmed. It must take, though, a lot of effort, Patrick, to break through that, doesn't it? I mean, to get to the point or get to that place in your brain where you actually make that transition, where you're no longer engaging in that same kind of behavior.
It's a fair question, and it's not as complex or complicated as you think. Step one is you have to be willing, because there are a lot of people who say, I don't want to get better, I don't want to change. I mean, I've worked with people who refuse to forgive. If you refuse to forgive your parents for all their screw-ups, you are only punishing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if intellectually you want to forgive? You know what you have to do for freedom, because isn't that where, again, it's all about freedom. It's freedom from ourselves and our minds and our confines. And so
right.
you hear about the power of the subconscious, and you intellectually, you know, the id is saying, yes, I want to forgive, but somehow it's got to come from your heart and the subconscious, and you
Correct.
Can't do it.
Well,
that's the jail.
Okay, here's the thing that's going to blow you away. You know why people choose not to forgive? Because they're scared of a couple of things. If I forgive that person, they'll hurt me again. If I forgive that person, I'm condoning what they did. I'm saying it's okay. If I forgive that person, I'm letting them get away with it. If I forgive that person, then I'm not going to punish them. I want to punish them. You see, there are benefits
right.
to not forgiving. So you have to look inside yourself and say,
the benefits.
What is the benefit of me not forgiving this person? And if you're in a relationship and your husband has cheated on you, or your boyfriend's cheated on you, or someone's hurt you, you're scared that if you give them another chance and you trust them, they will hurt you again. So what mm-hmm. are you trying to do? You're trying to avoid pain so you don't trust them. Really what it comes down to is often that you don't trust yourself, because you say...
Yeah, and you're attracted to repeat patterns and...
That's a pretty legitimate fear. I mean, if someone cheats on you, you probably should be afraid that they're that they're going to hurt you again.
Yes, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with it. I'm saying now make the decision, because if you choose to stay in a relationship with that person, if you're going to stay in a relationship with that person, then you have to be consider that the only way that relationship will succeed is by forgiving that person. If you don't want to forgive them, here's the other thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
You can forgive them and still leave the relationship.
Oh, that's the beauty.
That's the smart
part. Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's the old adage of forgiveness is a gift you give yourself.
Exactly.
So you can unchain your own brain from this person, but doesn't mean you have to still stay connected to them.
And sometimes we think that we are punishing them by not forgiving them, and the stupid thing is we're not, because often they don't care, or they don't know, or they died 20 years ago.
That's so true.
You're punishing yourself.
It's true. Honestly, they don't care, or they have no idea. You know, Patrick, I was talking to some male friends of mine, and we were talking about guilt, and he was saying how this girl that he thought, he hurt this girl's feelings. Well, he got a phone call from her out of the blue, and she said, hey, I'm getting married. And he said it was the best phone call I could have gotten because the guilt went away.
Right.
And I was saying to him, you know, that's so funny, because a couple years ago when I was going through a breakup, I knew that I was going through the breakup, and at the same time, something great happened to me. But I didn't want to tell him the great news, because it would have relieved him of his guilt, and I wanted him to feel guilty for what he did, because I wanted him to be a hostage, because I felt like he deserved it because of everything else that he did. It's like you wanted some kind of redemption.
You're exactly right. Now, let me share a couple of insights with you. All anger, I teach, all anger is a cry for love. Because ultimately, what do you want the other person? You want them to love you. When they've done something that hurt you, and they don't love you, we try to pay them back. Because really what we want, it's like a child that says, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. What they're really trying to say is love me, love me, love me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all anger is simply a cry for love. And sometimes we say, you didn't give me what I want. You didn't give me the love I want. I'm not going to give you the love you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way we think we're punishing them. But all we do is we keep this poison inside of us that simply blocks us from experiencing pleasure and love and all the good things in life. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but it is simple. Once we say, why am I choosing to do this? Why am I choosing to hold on to the pain or hold on to the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the resentment, the vindictiveness, or whatever else you're feeling? There is a benefit. And maybe we trick ourselves. We think, oh, I'm going to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want this person to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is change them. You cannot change anyone else. Think of how hard it is to change yourself.
And isn't it really, but doesn't it kind of boil down to control?
Yeah, and you know why we try to control? Because we want something from the other person. And we think that they are our only source of love, happiness, enjoyment. So what do? We want to control them because we don't want them to get away.
Mm-mm.
We don't want them to go somewhere else because if we do, we're going to be left alone.
Wow.
And what we don't realize is the harder we try to grip them and control them, the more they want to escape.
Wow, that's
great
stuff.
Wow, you are so good. And we have so much. Okay,
we have to have you back.
Yeah, we have to have you back.
Thank you.
You are fantastic. If people want to get in touch with you, Patrick, how can they do that?
My website is patrickwanis.com, patrickwanis.com.
Okay, and we'll also have Patrick's information on broadmindedonline.com. Patrick, if you're ever in Washington, we'd love to all sit down and do a session with you.
All right, we can set that up. I'm going to be in New York early September because I'm going to be taping some stuff for Montel, doing the very process you and I are talking about with angry men.
Oh, good.
Oh, you got it. We got to talk to you about that. That's great.
Listen, we'll talk to you.
I'll contact you again after we've taped it and once we know when it's going to go to air.
Of course.
Perfect.
And then we'll do a little therapy on the broads on air.
Okay.
We can use it.
All right.
Have a great day.
Take care. Good eye.
Thank you.
Good eye.
Duncan, what was the word?
You know what I was going to tell him is...
Fed income.
Gary Gruber's next. He's going to tell us how we can get better scores on our SATs. Well, wait a minute.
25 years later, you know,
yeah.
No good. How long has it been?
It's been a long time,
yeah.
And mine were bad, but we're going to talk about why that happened.
All right, cool.
That's next on Broadminded. You work on-